Saturday morning on Power Talk 1460 and 101 FM, Edward King of Alliance Career Training Solutions joining us right now. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, before we jump back into the topic of how to best deal with difficult employees, Alliance Career Training Solutions, good time to get signed up for classes right now in career advancement. Talk about it.
Yeah, well, classes are really filling up, certainly the August and into September. So now's the time to give us a call or visit our website, alliancetrains.com. Call us at 831-755-8200 and look at the entire catalog of classes that we have. We also now are able to do on-site where you don't have equipment. So we've got the ability to bring 20 laptops, sit down and do the training with you on your location if you've got a big enough conference room or something like that.
On to the topic for this weekend and maybe a future program. Edward, as a supervisor, manager, business owner, what will make you or break you is how well you deal with your employees, particularly when you have problem employees.
Right. Well, you know, we've always talked about the employees as being the most important asset in a company. And we've talked about training employees. We've talked about onboarding them. We've talked about trying to promote them and creating a good, healthy work environment. And those things are all good. But the reality in life is that you're going to end up with some challenging and most difficult employees. And we're going to break it down into some of the common types and discuss literally how we can deal with them. So the biggest problem is, let's just start with the cultural base that we're dealing with right now. The real world is more soft. Everybody's kind of entitled to have a job. We're really trying to let people be who they are. And I understand that. That's fine outside of the workplace. But within the workplace, we're really like a football team coming up to football season, right? And, you know, you might have a passive-aggressive lineman who really wants to be the quarterback and keeps trying to do the quarterback job. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about just some of these common types and possibly what the results of keeping them and how to train and deal with them. So the first one on tap today is going to be the victim.
Tell us about the victim.
Well, there's victims. I've even had them in my school as far as students. And basically, their approach to life is, it's always someone else's fault.
You know, and everything happens to me.
Everything happens to me. And I'm not sure if anybody in the listening audience today has had this experience with an employee. So what do you do? What's interesting about the victim style is they're the least accountable person in the entire organization because nothing is their fault. So I want to help you on how do you approach the victim. I think everybody's clearly understanding that victim mentality. But the first thing is the manager has to sit down and talk with them and define clearly what is accountability for the employee. What are they responsible for? What is the timeline of their jobs? What is their attitude that you require and you need in the organization? Be really clear about what the person should be doing, the quality of the work that they should be delivering, and the time frame in which they're doing. If they're not able to measure up, that's where you start sitting down. What do you do with them? So I suggest that you do give it a real managerial effort. You bring in others. You know, if you have an HR department, certainly you're going to want to loop them into this direction. Maybe if you're the manager and they have some direct supervisory people that they report to, you're certainly going to try to bring it in as a team effort to bring them around. But if they're not going to step off of the plate of being a victim, you really have to deal with the inevitable possibility that they need to move on to another job.
Good point.
Because they're dragging down the team. They're dragging down the company. And, you know, if you're a small and medium business, you don't have this luxury of, I've got 5,000 employees. I can accept some losers or some, I don't know if that's politically a proper word. Okay, I take back the word loser thing. Sorry about that. But, you know, you're going to have them people dragging down the others.
Yes.
So not only are you wasting the money on that one person, but look at the cost of all the immediate employees around them that you're wasting dollars on. So it's a hard decision. You got to make it.
All right. How about the next one? That's the angry one. Who is the angry one?
Who's the angry one? I'm sure you've never experienced an angry person. You know, what's interesting about the angry person is they really work hard up front when they're getting hired or at the beginning days about being super pleasant, right? I mean, they're just the nicest people in the world. And it isn't until maybe a little bit later that they start actually kind of biting back. And there's an old fable that comes from, I don't know, probably Yugoslavia or something like that. And they talk about this woman who's walking this mountain pass. And this is, you know, hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. And she takes pity. She sees down on the walk pathway, there's a snake that that's literally frozen solid, and she takes pity on that snake and picks up the snake, and then she puts it under her garment up by her chest where she's warm, and she holds it and keeps it warm, and she wanders along the pathway to continue on her journey, and the snake bites her.
Yes.
And she's just relatively completely appalled, shocked, and on her dying breath she says, "Why did you bite me? I've saved your life." And the snake says to her, "Well, you knew I was a snake, and you knew what snakes do."
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that's kind of a funny story, I guess.
I remember there was a top 40 song back in the 70s called The Snake.
Really?
By Al Wilson, I think was the... Anyway, but it concerns that fable put to music.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. I'll have to check that out.
Find it on YouTube and listen to it.
Find that on YouTube and we'll play it in a week.
So what do you do with the angry one?
Okay. So, you know, the problem, number one, is they're prone to rants. They're prone to ravings. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get pushy. They can become bullies. But the problem is no one really understands what sets these people off.
Okay.
So how do you approach them? Well, let's look at a couple of things. First, you have to recognize the person's behavior. They don't really care how his or her behavior impacts the team.
Oh, right. Good point.
First off, they don't care. So the reality is don't expect a turnabout. Work with them for about 90 days. Let's go through that performance planning. Let's talk about the opportunities of growth. Give them a reason to change their behavior. This is after you've pointed it out, and it falls into this one. If these steps don't work, expect this person to get the opportunity to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not, again, back to the other one, is the damage that's going on is so expensive to the small and medium business that regardless of what they're good at, you can find somebody also just as good.
Sure.
Put some new training into them and leave behind all of those burdensome problems.
When we wrap this up, I'll tell you a little story about that I experienced recently through a friend of mine. Mm. But the next one is the negative one. Now, this is kind of an interesting situation here because these people can actually be good employees, mm-hmm. except for one character flaw.
Yeah, they don't want you to be happy. They don't like anyone else to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just basically negative about everything. Tell me your story about negativity.
Well, it's not about the negativity, but it has to do with the problem employee. I guess this person was angry. This was a fellow who was working at this restaurant. I was telling you about my friend who managed the restaurant, mm-hmm. had an issue with that,
yeah.
that fellow who was a cook. Well, they finally separated from him. In fact, there were three of their cooks that they had to get rid of.
Oh, wow.
And these guys were killing the business because the food was coming out late. It was coming out bad. It was of uneven quality.
Mm-hmm.
And there was almost this paralysis by analysis that was going on amongst the three managers
mm-hmm.
at this restaurant. Gosh, are we going to be able to replace any, you know, that whole kind of thing that, well, they finally ended up having to, they just got to the point, we just can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the three of them were of one mind and they separated from those three individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They hired three new cooks, trained them properly. These three, one male and two females, and they've all been fantastic. And the customers are happy, the manager and the rest of the team is happy.
Yeah.
Because what was happening was the bad cooks sending out the bad food.
Mm-hmm.
The customers are upset. They want their money back. They don't want to pay. They don't want a tip. No matter how hard the server worked, the server's mm-hmm. not going to get tipped.
Yeah.
The servers aren't happy.
Yeah.
Right? And actually what was happening, and I think what kind of drove the manager's decision was the servers were going to the managers and saying, "Look, these guys are killing us.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing the business. We're not making tips. If we don't make tips, we're leaving as well. So they decided, you know, we can't lose everyone.
Right.
Let's separate from these three people.
Yeah.
And it was a great decision. Oh, it was a courageous decision in a sense, mm-hmm. but they took the step and it was the right step.
Yeah. If they kept going with that, the business would have closed.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen. And the front staff, the front of the house, the back of the house, and a restaurant, it's got to work together.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're right on target with that.
So back to the negative one.
Yeah, back to the negative one. So, you know, I said that they bust everybody's happiness. That's true. The other thing, too, is they're absolutely resistant and adverse to change, and they resist new policies and procedures. And how can you move forward in a company if you've got someone who is negative, 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 that directs the business future? They don't own the place.
Mm. What are we doing it this way for? We've always done it the other way, and it worked fine.
I'm sure I've never heard that. I'm positive about that.
So at the same time, you also say that negatives, they aren't necessarily bad workers. Mm-hmm. They're competent in their own job. They can be helpful to the team. But as you write here, don't ever put them in charge. And why do you not want to put them in charge?
Well, it would be like your chef, your cook story. If you had the cooks become the managers, you could see the direction there. So let's go back to talk about the positive thing. There's a benefit about having a devil's advocate in there, because what it does is it challenges the common thought and it provides feedback. Even though if you don't like it, it might add to some new processes. It might add to a re-looking at what you're trying to establish. So that's good. So there's a balance there. And if you can control a negative person, if you can enlighten the negative person to, you know, are you having a bad day today? They can still become an integral part of the team. The problem is you don't want that negative attitude to lead a team, even if it's a small group. So if they want to become managers, and I can't imagine people with skills not wanting to go up the ladder, they either need to really recognize their negativity on their own. I mean, you can talk until you're blue in the face, but if they don't put it to heart, they're really never going to recognize it. It's a point of maturity for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we all had a lot of energy in our 20s and into our 30s, and we became more mature and we, you know, didn't act like a child anymore. And so there is hope and possibility, unlike some of the other problem children that we've talked about.
Edward, we're pretty much out of time for this week's segment, but how about if we cover the other characters, the narcissist, the passive aggressive, and some of the others on our next program?
Yeah, and don't forget the Einstein.
Yeah, the Einstein.
I thought that was really amazing.
All right. Edward King has been our guest, Alliance Career Training Solutions, here in Salinas and Santa Cruz. And Edward, how do we get in touch with you?
Best way to do is call us, 831-755-8200. Visit the website at alliancetrains, with the S at the end, .com. That'll give you a list of our classes. It'll give you ways to email and contact us, or visit our school, even better, at 333 Abbott Street, Suite B, Salinas.